raw loaf.
Okay? Guys, I'm sorry, it's kind of hard to imagine this, but women really know what I'm talking about. The loaf is like rolled it. And inside is a, you can put, what do you want to put it in there? Strawberry jam or something in there. And outside, they usually have a powdered sugar or something like that. But let's put that outside of jelly loaf, make it a chocolate.
Yeah.
And good chocolate. I mean, really good chocolate. And a couple layers of it, different kind of things. Okay? Just an analogy here. And now, that we'll call this one the Salvation Delight. Okay? I mean, like a Turkish delight, just take out the Turkish and put the Salvation in there. Okay? So now, and then after that, then we're going to slice this Salvation Delight. So you can see the loaf with the chocolate covers, all kind of things, and the good stuff in it, and then we're going to slice them. Each slice, you pull it out, have a different taste. One will bring it out, angel food type of texture, which I like angel food. Another slice will come out as a chocolate, marble, caramel, strawberry embedded in there. Okay? Another slice, you pulled it out, here, ice cream taste in there. I mean, I know that you guys cannot make this, by the way. So all temperature differences and all this kind of, there's no way making these things. Point I'm trying to make here is that each slice is like a dispensation of this Turkish, Salvation Delight. Each slice you pull it out, it's different. Okay? But overall, the whole work of Jesus Christ, chocolate frosting on the top, affects whole salvation in doctrines. So it is a very complex topic to talk about. Because you have to talk about each slice, you have to talk about three dimensions about what the salvation is all about to start with, and then really intervention of it, what Jesus Christ does in whole salvation, and how the each chocolate frosting affects in each slice. I mean, it's a very tough topic to talk about. So I have 3 hours this weekend. There's no way I'm going to talk about that. Okay? And then I admit that, and I'm not even an exhaustive guy. I mean, Tim is an exhaustive guy. I'm not an exhaustive guy. I just learn as I go guy. Okay. So what I will talk about this in the last 3 weeks, that's 3 hours, is the first hour today is I'm going to talk about kind of general what the problem grace believers have in salvation. Okay? And the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about the covenant. And then you talk about a covenant, it sounds like a promise and an old kind of Old Testament thing, you know? And how does covenant relate with the grace believers and what is salvation? You'll be surprised how the covenant is really so, tightly interwoven with salvation. Because covenant is a big promise. Okay, it's a big promise. Dwight was joking about this. As I talk, this will remain forever. Covenant is forever. I mean, you guys have signed the mortgages, right? 30-year mortgages? I know you haven't signed the mortgages yet, right? It's coming, man. It's coming. Okay. I mean, honestly, I was nervous writing the 30. I mean, math is there, right? Math is there. I'm paying $600 per month to go on and on and on. I have a reasonably good job. I can pay for 30 years. Sure. Were you nervous? I was nervous. That this is not even 30 years. This is forever until it accomplishes it. There's no ifs and buts about it. And when you have an agreement like this, you get nervous. And but one sense, I'm nervous. But other sense, it assures us that God is okay. This is a promise. And this is a worth I'm telling you about. And this is a promise, big, super-duper promises. And you can banking on it, even more than banking on it. Yeah. So that's what we'll cover in the second and third hours. So let's go into salvation. What's the problem grace believer have? Okay, number one. Those are back row people. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I tried to make it small so that you can bring you out here, bring up to the front, but it doesn't work, I guess. Okay. we basically have four problems as a grace believer. Number one, we have Adam sin. Okay, we are in Adam. What I mean by that is, what the Adam did, God considered us, we did it. We'll look at that one. Number two, I'd rather say this is a problem with trespass. Trespass, good way to looking at a trespass is when you do the lust, go through the lust sections, strong desire, and then you reach this point of temptation of a trespass. This is an area where I will do it. I will do it. All you have needed this moment is, all you need is opportunity to do it. Then you're going into next phase of sin. Okay? I'm going to hold on for the trespass here. That's the age of this area of a trespass. Who's dominating? Who's controlling this person at trespass? What do you think? You can kind of feel this, don't you? Of course, sin nature is dominating. So it's not having a sin nature. It's dominating by sin nature. Sin nature won and is ruling the person. What do you think happened to your spiritual conditions? It's going to die. So it's called a spiritual nature, spiritual death. So you can say, it's not synonyms, but three things going together. Package deal. Trespass, sin, domination of sin nature, and spiritual death goes together. And just hop along at the same time. And then we have to deal with that. It's that trespass. And then the trespass, we have to deal with it because it's not legitimate, what I'm saying, the judicially problem. However, if you don't fix this thing, you're going to go to hell with it. So you've got to fix this thing somewhere. I mean, it's not I'm fixing it. It's not we are fixing it. But something has to be done about this trespass. So it is a problem. Number three, easy one. Individual believers and sins. Okay, I sin. I honestly, I sin. That's called number two, other sins. 1 John 3:4. I sin all kind of stuff. I determined to do it in my life. I acknowledge that. I'm sure you do. And the first one is Jesus Christ is not. I consider that work of Jesus Christ is not sufficient. That's just something unsaved people have. That's a liable. That's a sin. And then that's usually unsaved people have first. And then I will sin. Fourth problem, it's a self-payment problem. What I mean by self-payment here is, in order to reverse all these Adam's sins, trespass, my sin, my trespass, in order to do that, the payment for all this sin and trespass is death. So sin, you got to physically die. That's payment. If you pay physically death, you're physically dead. You have nothing left after physically dead. So you don't have any life after physically dead. That makes sense. I mean, death dominates you. Spiritual death is the same thing. Same sense. I mean, so you spiritually die in a lake of fire, you're spiritually dead. That's it. So God, as you know, that you kind of feel already, you know all this, most of the story you heard many times, that I don't die, actually. Actually, Jesus Christ dies, and I hop along with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died for me. It's called a word, it's a substitutionary death. So I'm getting all the benefit, and he did all the work. As simple as that. All right, that's why we say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. You know, all denominations. I hope there's all denominations. Because he did a book of work here. Okay, so let's look at individually or four parts here. Adam sin. Let's look at we don't have to go to Genesis 3:6, but we can go to Genesis 2:17 here. Genesis 2:17. This is, the one law, one principle or one standard God told Adam to do, not to do, is eat the fruit from the knowledge of good and evil. just don't eat them. I mean, that was his one standard God gave to him. If he eats this standard, if he eats this fruit, okay, if he eats this fruit, this is the word he said, what the God says. But the tree of knowledge, the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And as you know, this is a, make a note on this, this is a, it's a hard to, personally, that's my feeling, is when you look at the black and white letters, you don't get the emphasis. God's really saying, you know, don't do this. There's emphasis word and then don't do this. But this is emphasis word. Don't do this. If you do this, you're going to really die. There's emphasis in there. This is infinitive, absolute in here. Every aspect of Adam will die. He warns it. Right? He gives fair warning. And in every aspect that he dies, is basically two things he dies when he takes this fruit. Number one, he dies physically. So, you see that people die all the time. Right? This is not the rocket science here. And the second aspect he's going to die is spiritually he's going to be dead. He's going to separate them from the man. It causes a problem. But we'll talk about that later. You know, what kind of problem it will cause. So, the man dies physically, man dies spiritual death. We'll talk about 5:12 and 5:17 here. And we are responsible for Adam's sin guilt. What I mean by this, we actually sin guilt. What I mean by this, we did Adam. We did Adam's sin. So I am liable for Adam. Let's look at Romans 5:12 here. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, the sin entered into the world, and physical death, oh, by the way, there's a lot of death here, death and sin in this, what is it, chapter 5 and around Roman 5, you kind of put in that you know, little pen here, that you can add it onto those words to make you understand a little better. I do that all the time. My book is, and my Bible has tons of those kind of small words. This is spiritual. I mean, spiritual death, physical death, and all this kind of thing here. If you haven't done it, I'm going to read it in that manner. So it's much easier for you to understand here. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, the sin entered into the world, and the physical death by the sin, and so death passed unto all men, and for that all have sinned. All sin is a better word here. All sin is arrowist here. So that means I sin. When Adam sinned, I carry death and guilt. American thing, is it fair? No, it's not. But by the way, don't look at us that way. In some sense, we're going to talk about later about this one man, how the God does save it. It's thinking it's a positive thing. You kind of join, you got aggregated the whole of sin at once. I mean, this is kind of odd way of saying this, but we'll talk about this. Is that, I mean, yeah, I am going to be responsible for Adam's sin. Yeah, it's not fair. It's not fair. We agree that. But the thing is, because God aggregated, summed every sin in one place in Adam, so his work gets really appreciated. I mean, he shows his power, and he solves the whole problem in one span. It's a panacea for the whole of sin here. We'll talk about that in a minute, okay? And so, Father imputes all mankind in Adam so that we are in sin. This is 1 Corinthians 15:22. And all human beings have those problems with us through seminal imputation. If you're really into theological jargon, this is another one for you. Hebrews 7:7-10, if you want to look at this one later. So what basically here is a seminal Abraham was sacrificing, giving some kind of tenth to the Melchizedek, okay? And then God reckons that his sacrifice to Melchizedek is actually coming from Levi. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And Levi is a couple of generations down there. And because Adam was the father of Levi, and God looks at this, okay, Levi, you're giving it a sacrifice. That's the seminal imputations. And that's how it works out in this reverse way, that works it out. So Adam sinned, I'm son of Adam, so I'm responsible for this. Okay, so now, problem number one, I have Adam sin. Okay, it's listed there. Number two, the trespass. Trespass does not have the kind of legality there. What I mean by legality here is the sin, the judge said, you sin, you judge, now you're going to be paying the penalties. It's illegal. Trespass does not have the kind of legality there. However, it creates its problem. Okay. The reason I say it doesn't have a legality here is because God does not reckon the trespass. Okay, let's look at that verse. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I don't see 2 Corinthians 5:19. Okay, we'll go there. See, this is why I say I'm not an exhaustive guy. It just gets there. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Okay, let's start with 18. And all things are from the God, and who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. This is a typical reconciliation to world, God reconciling to the whole world verse here, himself. That means not imputing their trespasses unto them. So God the Father does not impute trespasses. So that's why I say legality is not there. However, Romans 5:17-18 talks about the trespass. When you look at the offense, that word is trespass. Offense, trespass, synonym here. 17. For if by since by one man's offense, Adam's offense, spiritual death reigned by one, much more they received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense, the one that trespassed of a one upon one, offense of a one upon all men to condemnation, result of condemnations, result of judgment, which is when you do a trespass, what happened? What's the result? Offense. Then you're using the sin nature. That's why I use those three words altogether. You trespass. You're dominated by sin nature. You kind of feel that, don't you? Yeah. Sin nature. And then when you use your life is dominated by sin nature, you're going to have a spiritual death. That's why going up to sin, trespassing the sin, is really not that difficult jump. You're spiritually dead. You don't have anything really. Well, you do have something, but that jump is really not that difficult from the trespass to sin. So the result is that the sin nature comes, spiritual death comes in to the person. Okay. And before then, it's a sin nature to start to dominating dominating results that spiritual death. So, let's look at the Adam's case here. When the Adam saw Eve has that fruit, Eve already was deceived, and she had what, a bite, right? And now the Eve was saying that Adam, it's really not that bad. And Adam looks at her, she had a choice, right? She had a choice. I can be like Eve, follow the Eve, or stand by my God. Not going to eat this. He had a choice. He had a choice. So he made determinations that he's going to follow the Eve, and he ate. Right? That's why we call the Adam sin. When he makes that determinations, his human nature, he was born without a sin nature, human nature, you can see kind of bended towards sin nature. And the sin nature helps him to make the determinations. You can see that. What happens? When he did, his sin nature, he was human nature, perverts to sin nature, grabs hold of him, dominates him, rules him, it's over. Spiritual death happens. It happens to us too, by the way. Same way. Now, so that's Adam's trespass. And you just read in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that all trespass is considered, logizomai, logically not imputed. It does not mean God is not making the legalized, saying that you're not responsible for trespass, but what Adam did was bring in that process of a sin nature dominating people and creating, or generating, not creating is better, generating, producing this spiritual death. This is not good. I have that, and you have that. We all have that. Although it's not a legally problem, we have to deal with this. Because why do we go to hell? Why do we go to hell? First book we open. Are you elected or not elected? How do we know you're elected or not elected? What's the criteria? Number one criteria. Are you spiritually alive or are you spiritually dead? It's a big deal. It's not legally a problem, true. But problem is your destiny is a big deal here. So somebody has to deal with this. That's why salvation deals with this. So two. I'm not going over this in individual believer in sin. See for yourself. It's basically saying the number one for unbelievers, biggest problem here is Jesus Christ is not sufficient, and work is sufficient enough. Methodist does really good job. Methodist thinks that there's more than one way of going about going to heaven or going to salvation. That means what does Jesus Christ's work do? I mean, the armadillo can save you. Then Jesus Christ's work is really not that big deal. But it is a big deal. Reality is a big deal. Number two, I have my own sin. So, there it goes. My own sin. And then we talked about self-payment problem. Is that when the penalty are paid, then person reverts back to pre-sin or a trespass state. What I mean by that? What I mean by that here is if you have, somebody pays you your penalty of sin, Adamic sin and my individual sin, you're going back before the getting the penalties. So, I'll give you an example of this. Jesus Christ died on the cross in a physical death. We all know that. We can go to the Gospels and check on this one. Very clear. So, now then, the payment for Adam's sin and my individual sin is paid. Then what do you think happened to all human beings? Eventually, I should say. They all become resurrected one way or another. I will get resurrected. I will. If I die now, I'll get resurrected in rapture. If the unbeliever dies, they'll get resurrected sometime, but their resurrection is not as pleasant as ours because they get resurrected to go to hell. That's not really, you'd rather want to go just die, I guess, in my case. But this is the point here. Point here is you're going back to pre-trespass or sin the state. Okay? That's what I meant by that. Number two, Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. We have, let's go to 1 Peter 2:21 and 22. And for even hereunto were ye called, because of Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And you have a lot of these, the he did no sin, and John 1:29-36 talks about it. Here comes, what is the word? It's perfect. Sacrifice, I think that's what his word was. Let me just go quickly go over. The next day, John see the Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," the lamb sacrifice here, "Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." So, I mean, he talks about he is the Jesus Christ, is a lamb. And he, I mean, the 1 Peter 2:21, 22 talks about he's a sinless. And John 8:46 is about the same thing as John is a sinless. We read about this, and I never got the kind of visceral impressions. I always say visceral impression. How big deal this thing is. Have you thought about it, if you look at it? Because this is sacrifice. Remember in Leviticus 8:16, if you go to there's an Old Testament atonement, they have to do atonement once a year. You do I think if I'm right, it's a bull. They're killing the bull. Let's do the math. So about 4 million Jews living around that time, and they did all kinds of things. Now that they're killing the one bull once a year, to cover, it's not even sending away, by the way, just covering the sin, covering their sin for 1 year. Okay, that's what the deal was. And then you get a one bull for this. It's kind of value here. Now, we're talking about all the sins accumulated by that Israelite sin. That's number one component. Second component, you got Adam's sin. That's easier, one man to one man. Third component here is all the people who lived, whether all the people ever lived and have a sin, you're covering all these people. And you're talking about the power of the sacrifice must be tremendous. And it's just kind of, I'm doing the little small math, the envelope math. And then this is quite a bit of power, the valuable the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice is. And resurrected Christ offers his blood in heavenly temple. This is one of the interesting thing here. And then we'll cover that in a few minutes here. And so this is a God's solutions in the kind of, I would say, the first part. That Jesus Christ dies physically and spiritually on the cross. It just covers the payment we talked about as cover individual sins and Adam's sins and the trespasses. He covers it. What's not done? Okay. What's not done here is the source of a sin. It's still there. By just doing that, just source of sin. What I mean by this, we rebooted it. Okay, that's great. We rebooted it. But what comes down to is, since the problem's still there, we just keep doing sin again. That's what it's coming down to in only part A. But this is what the additional wonders about salvation. God gives you more. God, what the hell does God give you more? Where is my transparency here? Page 2. Okay, let me go with this first one here. Am I going good? Okay. God gives you more. And in this case, additional saving that God does is actually that he gives us power to get that source of the sin and trespass out from the grace believers. If he didn't do that, then yeah, it's true, Jesus Christ's sacrifice rebooted to the pre-state, but we're going to continue to go back to sin over and over and over again. Then what? God's going to come back again and do again? I'm not sure. But in this case, he has took out that sin nature, the source of a sin. He can able to take it out for the grace believers. So for the grace believers, now, we do not have option. We have options to not to sin. We took out that source. When you took out the source, life is really good. Jim and I mean, you got this nursing people right here. Yes, people are sick. We can do the epinephrine to pump in the heart, you know, make it a little wider, a bit better. But it's not going to last long. You really need to take out the source. What is the deal? Is it pulmonary embolism? Okay, guys, write down if you don't know the definition, okay? This, you're going to look at a Wikipedia or something. either pulmonary embolism or what? I mean, you got to take out those things so that his heart rate eventually will go down one way or another. If you don't do that, epinephrine wear out, he's going to go on anyway. Okay? So you have to take out the source. But this is what God does. Not only the resets us, reboot, but he takes out from that, I mean, takes out that source. Okay, so now, page 2. I'm going to change it a little bit, because we're going to eventually cover this. So, change a little bit here. So I thought we can cover the kind of chronological important event in order to be in a grace believer salvation. Okay? There's a lot of stuff in, a lot of kind of a little hokey things in here. Number one, the foremost important thing about, what is it, the salvation, is that God determined it. Okay? I mean, it's where Jesus Christ died and all these things is nice, but are you going to go, really, is a mark, are you going to go to heaven? Is God determined you to go to heaven? That's really the foremost important thing here, yes, really. And if the God did not determine the mark to go to heaven, I'm sorry. You just didn't make it. You just can't get there. That's as simple as that. The decree is so important in this. I call it elections, calling, 1 Peter 5:10. Next important step here is a universal reconciliation. The 2 Corinthians 5:19, we looked at this one verse before. Let me go over this one more time. That is that
the God was in Christ reconciling, universally reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliations. Okay? Universal reconciliation. Reconciliation means, simply put it, is these two people have some kind of enmity. Okay. I have a pronunciation. Okay. Enmity. Okay. I don't even speak English that well either. I don't write either. I don't write today either. I don't write well either. So, see, Tim wants me to edit his books. I say, are you kidding? My English sucks. Don't do that to me. You know? Gosh, are you crazy? How botched up your writing. Okay. So the enmity is there's two people has enmity. There's something between these two people's relationship. If you want a marriage relationship or you feel the tensions, and if you know what it is in marriage tension, you are really well done. But most people, you know, in a marriage relationship, you don't even know what's wrong. What your spouse is bothering. I don't know what's bothering you and that core. But this core right between the man and God is enmity, okay? It's trespassing, offending, offense of God. God said, don't do this. And we turn around and test this. Of course, if you're parents, all of you guys who are in parent mode, okay? Somebody tells, or manager mode too, by the way, and then your toddlers or teenagers, do this. Don't do this. And then they blatantly turn around and does this intentionally. Don't you think you're offended about this? Okay, I'll be ticked off. I'll be definitely ticked off. And this is what God does. He's saying, that, hey, don't do this, Adam. Don't do this. I fairly warned you. And he turns around and eat that fruit. Don't you think God was ticked off? Yeah, God was ticked off. And then, now, that is the turning around that process, that enmity between the God and man, that God will, I mean, like this is a better way, and then God will turn it around and take out that enmity out so that God will looking at a man in a friendly manner. It doesn't mean the man is looking at a God-friendly manner. God just took out the enmity. You know, his enmity, just take it out and say, okay, now I will deal with you. That's what it's coming down to. And so that's the universal reconciliation. The enmity we're talking about in 2:5:19 is a trespass. So God, when the God decided that I'm not going to count that trespass, then he just turns around. How do I make it turns around? and say, yeah, I will deal with you. The importance about this is because it's this. You heard the verses like this. You should be holy because I'm holy. And there's a couple of places in the Bible has that. And 1 Peter, I think 1 Peter has that. And the Old Testament has that. Reason that God says that statement here is that because when the God is holy, so He's a set apart. He's different from us. And when we are different from God. Oh, let's do it other way. Other way here is that when we are not like a God, God will cream us one way or another. He just pours a wrath upon us, judgment upon us, because He likes to be every His creation to be like Him. Quality of like Him. It's not exactly like Him, but quality of like Him. It's very important. So if we are not like Him, one or another, eventually He's going to cream us. And He doesn't associate with us. Number one, He's going to cream us eventually. Number two, and He doesn't associate with us. Okay? And that is a very important background. So now, if the God does not give us a universal reconciliation, then what do you think God is going to do to us eventually? He's going to cream us one way or another. He's not going to associate with us. That's what's so important about it. The holiness of God demands just some kind of take out the enmity so He can deal with them. He deal with the man. Okay? That's what importance is. So, universal reconciliation in the 2 Corinthians 5, 19 talks about the whole, it provides the whole human beings. And so it provides the all. That's very important to know. It's the provisions. This everything is all. Number C, that Jesus Christ paid a penalty for trespass through His spiritual death for all human beings. Another provisions. Mark 27:45, Mark 15:24, Jesus Christ dies spiritually on the cross just before he goes to the physical death. So He dies twice, basically. Spiritual death and physical death. This is a Job 25:6 and Isaiah 41:14 talks about this. He become a worm. It's a kind of a worm, and he bears the trespasses, and the worm that he's reflecting into is not being a kind of lower human nature, lower human beings here, and he bears all this the trespass, and he takes on him. That's what is really the dynamics. That's how God sees it. And Jesus Christ died spiritually on the cross, paying the price payment for trespass for all mankind. A provision for all because of the spiritual death of Christ. Christ, God can associate with the creations. So that's the ultimate implication here. Okay? Number D. Jesus Christ paid a penalty for all sins of mankind through His physical death. Jesus Christ paid for Adam's sin, number one, John 1:29. Go 1:29. The next day the John sees Jesus and coming unto him and say, to behold the Lamb of God that which takes away the sin of the world. The sin. One sin of the world. Adam's sin of the world. He's going to take it away. And number two, believers have a forgiveness of a sin's in Christ. So when you go into the Christ, then you are having you are having forgiveness. Trespasses, sins are forgiven, and also provisions are all because of physical death of Christ. Physical death of Christ. I want to just stop in a D right here, because the reason I'm stopping here is that we usually talk about Jesus Christ's death is benefits the believers. True. Absolutely true. But His death also benefited the unbelievers too. In unbeliever sense, number one, Jesus Christ paid a penalty for all sins. Now, then we talk about it, is everybody get resurrected. Yeah, that's a kind of somewhat benefit. His work affected unbelievers. when Jesus Christ died a trespass for everybody, yeah, then what's going to happen is universal reconciliation. God deals with these people. God deals with unbelievers. So not only that, what is it, Jesus Christ's death on the cross and paying having a two death helps grace believers, also it helped or affected, is a better way, affected unbelievers too. Okay? So it has a universal result to it. So let's move on. E. Let's go on to the 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians, resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 and 17. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, then how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But since there be no resurrection of the dead, then is a Christ not risen. Now how can, point here is, how can you say there's no resurrection? How can you say there's no resurrection? If there's no resurrection, Jesus Christ does not rise. That's what his point is. 14. Since the Christ be not risen, then our preaching has a no, what is it? What's the word here? I think it's a no content. And your faith has no content. What you're teaching is a garbage. Yeah. Your faith is garbage. Yea, 15. Yea, and we have found the false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom that he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not the Christ not risen. Very simple. If there's no resurrection, Christ is not going to raise. It's important about resurrection, Jesus Christ's resurrection. And if the Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Okay, here goes. Your faith has no result. You are still in your sins. Okay? Why? Why does he say that? Why resurrection is so important to getting rid of the sin? We just said that Jesus Christ died physical death, pay the payment. Right? We just said that. D. Now, why is it so important to getting rid of the sin? This is what the offering is, right? Jesus Christ died, resurrected, now he's going to be going to the ascended, and he's going to offer his blood. So, technically, let's finish the offering and then we'll explain here. The offering takes away all the sins believers, Hebrews 10, 12, and 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 17. Resurrection was necessary to offer his blood, our blood in heavenly temple. So technically, let's put it this way. You know that offering took after some, let's give arbitrary, we don't know, but arbitrary number week. Okay? But what I'm really saying is that Jesus Christ died on a cross, physically died, and he was resurrected, and now he's going to be ascended. There's time gap there. Okay? There's time gap. Have you thought about this when in Leviticus 16, when there's a chief priest is a kind of sacrifice and will kill the bull in an outside blazing offering, and he turns around, now he killed the bull and got the blood, and turns around and he has a banana peel there, and oops, and he falls. I'm sure that didn't ever happen, but it could have happened. Yeah. Or let's say there's a rope there and he tripped over on it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh is understatement for that year for these Israelites. It's a big deal. And because that offering has to be made, that's where the sin is forgiven. Okay? So that's why resurrection is so important. So our gospel is like that in 1 Corinthians 3. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. And that's why the resurrection is there so important, because the offering has to be in there. Okay. Now, so that's what happened. That's the first part. Second part is a really intervention of Jesus Christ's work on grace believer, convicting work of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 16 and 8 through 11. I'm not going to go there, but you know the conviction work. basically coming down to is this. We'll talk about why Holy Spirit does this conviction work later. But at this moment, what's the convicting work? What's the conviction here? Conviction is basically that you're just saying, oh, I get it now. Now I get it. Now I get it. And the spiritual life is a kind of a, I think it's a kind of confusing. My personal experiences are confusing because I'm not getting all the stuff, nuts and bolts all together. What is the important stuff? And what is really going on in the world? Okay? Conviction. Three things happening. Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need the righteousness like Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus Christ is the righteousness. My solution to getting the righteousness is going through Jesus Christ. Third thing, the living, my boss, I'm working on right now, and my master and what I'm doing right now, he's doomed. He's a Satan. He's doomed. I'm just following the wrong master. The realization hits in the convictions. So now you can kind of see the kind of creative demand for coming toward the working in the salvation work of believing the past tense salvation. Now, next one. The individual salvation, complete reconciliations. I divided this one into the universal reconciliations, right here, universal reconciliation, and I divided this one to complete reconciliation. So let's look at the Romans 5:10. Universal reconciliation is there's enmity between the man and a God, and a God turns around because he does not reckon the trespass as man. So God, the implication here is that God said, I will deal with you. I will associate with you. I will provide salvation for you. Let's put it in the context. I will deal with you. You're sinners. I don't have to. But I will deal with you. Complete salvation is, now, that I have a trespass, my own trespass, my individual sins, complete reconciliation. God is going to accept me. Now, He's going to send me my sins, send away my sins, send away my trespasses. So now we are being like together. Together. Complete reconciliation. There are two processes. There's one big process. This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Christ. This is why it's in Christ. If you don't know, you know that Dave Spurbeck wrote a book on in Christ. It's exhaustive, really good, detailed book about in Christ. In Christ, number one, where am I? I don't think I have all the listed. In Christ, we don't have trespass. All the trespasses are sent away. In Christ, we are righteous. Am I not doing the trespassing? Am I not doing the all the right things in my life? No. In Christ, it happens. God sees that so. God looks at it and says, hey, you don't have trespass. You don't have you have a righteousness. That's a great thing. Why do we have a freedom, by the way? Right? We always say we have a freedom to do whatever God leads us to do. We don't have a kind of... It's hard to teach as a kind of preacher or teacher that you have this line. You can only walk 2 miles per hour in the congregation, the auditoriums. You know, I'm sure the kids roam around and run all over here, just like our churches, right, on Sunday. I can't teach that. But Oregon said, yeah, you have a freedom. Why do we have a freedom? Because we are, everything we do is a right in Christ. So as long as you are in Christ and spiritual, led by Christ, led by God, led by the Holy Spirit, then you have a lot of freedom. Everything you do is right. Why that God does not sin? Cannot sin? Why God cannot sin? Everything He does is right. That's why. He can kill. Kill is a stronger word. He killed David and Bathsheba's child, infant. Because David sinned. Just know the background stories. David sent the Bathsheba's, the husband, to the front line where the most heated action is. His intention is killing Uriah. his intention. That was his intention. So that he can have claim his wife. That was his intention. Of course, God knew that. I mean, that's not really that difficult. And then what God does is for that punishment, he takes away life of their first child. What does infant do? Nothing. He does that, in one sense. He killed the infant. On the other hand, he saves young girls in the Gospels, by miracles. Jesus Christ does that. Death, kill somebody, save somebody. All kind of variety of his ways. Everything he does is right. That's why he doesn't sin. There's nothing called sin in his life because everything he does is right. Right? That's kind of applied to us in a sense. We have a righteousness in Christ, and that's why we have so much freedom to do things. So we don't have those kind of like Old Testament things about, okay, you cannot do this. They're very strict. If you disobey, then you're going to get creamed some way or another. But we don't have those things because we are righteous in Christ. Okay. One part I want to bring it up, one part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is called spiritual circumcisions. Okay, let's look at Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:11 and 2:12. Okay. In whom is a very important word here. In whom. Also, ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hand. So, this is why we call this heavenly circumcision here. That the made without hands, and in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of the Christ, buried with him in the baptism, and wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Okay, this is exactly the same as in the Romans 6:4 about when Jesus Christ dies, and then we are with him. So he dies, I died. He rose again, we rose again. So now, do you have a body? No, I don't have a body because I'm dead. When I'm dead, I don't have any sin natures. That's what this spiritual circumcision is. And then now, that's a mechanism of that. Result here is, this is one of abundant grace of God. Takes out the source of our sin. Now, we got rid of a pulmonary embolism. Guy should breathe better. So I don't have to, maybe he doesn't have to have a cardiac arrest. Okay, you know a guy cardiac arrest, right, kid? Shake your head. Okay, there it goes. Good girls. Or heart attack. He's not going to have a heart attack. Or it's going to be heart will go into normal functions. Because they have oxygen flowing. Okay, now. Okay, so, he even takes out what is the source of that. Number two. What does sin nature produce? Spiritual death. Right? So God can just say, okay, well, I can take out your spiritual, that source of a sin nature. I'll do that. So when I say that, providing the way of taking that source out, that's part of abundant grace, I consider that. So it's really one of extra benefits. Second benefit God gives you on this is that, okay, now you have a sin nature. Now, the sin nature now can take it out. But sin nature will lead you to the spiritual death. But I'll even give you some little extra method for this. The method is regeneration. Now, we're having connection with God 24/7, by the way, in some sense. 24/7, what's the degree of that? Is it a different degree of that? It would be interesting to study. 24/7, God is going to connect with me. 2 Corinthians 6:17. But that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, believers in Christ, mine is one spirit now. what that, I mean, it's a one spirit is a, we're talking about here is what is the oatmeal cookies. I'll tell you, what I mean by oatmeal cookie here is not Oreo, but oatmeal cookies. Oatmeal cookies and oatmeal is mixing together all the cookies. Oreo cookies, the frosting and the cookies are separated. That's not one. We're talking about is oatmeal cookies. Can mix it all together. Yeah, that's going to be dessert stuff, isn't it? I'm thinking about desserts all the time. Okay. So we'll mix it together as one mind. Remember the Old Testament, best they can do. David had the best they can do about Old Testament was he had a sin nature. He's doing, and so probably he's exercising his sin nature. So now what does he do? He probably has a spiritual death. So he has a connection. But, however, God was gracious to David and a lot of saints in the Old Testament. He puts the Holy Spirit upon him, outside of him. But this one, you are interwoven together and becoming one. Okay? Oatmeal cookies. Okay? I mean, that is second abundant grace. Now you have something about the spiritual, you can do something about a spiritual life. You can do something about spiritual death. Okay? What do you do with a spiritual death? How do you prevent a spiritual death? Romans 6:23. We'll go over a lot of these things later too, by the way. So if you haven't gotten one, it's okay. We'll get it. We'll pound on one more time. The Romans 6 is about all the sin nature, and this is a general saying about the relationship between cause and effect. Cause here is the wage. Wage means the result. Result, a small wages, small result. Of sin is death. Okay? Since this context is a sin nature context. So when I bring out the sermon, I usually translate like this. For the small wages of sin nature is spiritual death. So I put a couple words in there to make it a little clearer. That's what I think that what God was really talking about this one. But statement itself is just normal, general kind of associations he's talking about. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how to prevent spiritual life? How to prevent the spiritual death? Through eternal life. So he gives us another way of dealing with spiritual death. So he gives us, as a believer, he really gives us two powerful guns. One is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So all my trespasses and all the sins are gone. And number two, and he gives the regenerations. Actually, I can connect with a God all the time and prevent spiritual death. So this is what I call abundant grace for grace believers. So let's go to the last one, last couple items here. Related issues. Very important. I'm sure there's more than two, but a little bit controversial occasionally. Two things. Is it the Calvin started this? I think. Is it Calvin started? Maybe somebody started before the Calvin. But he has got a thing called a limited atonement. What the Calvin is saying is that Jesus Christ died just for the believers. Okay? Just for the believers. His work was just for the believers. As we said before, the provisions of salvation, universal reconciliations, and then his death covers far more than just grace people's salvations. And it shows what? What does it show? Shows how powerful his sacrifice is. How powerful his, how big deal his physical death and spiritual death must be. And we just don't get the picture that well. Personally, I don't get phantom this thing. But that's the way it is. I mean, it's a big deal because it covers all by for all. Okay. Then how do one person get this baptism of spirit and what is a baptism of spirit and regenerations? We get those things by God applying those provisions to us. So it's kind of applying to me. But not everybody has it. Only applied people have it. So that's why decrees are so important. God said, Mark, you can have it. William, you can have it. That's what it's coming down to, ultimately, coming down to. So provision is a bigger, far, far, far bigger than applications. That's one. Number two, talk about this. David's infant. We just talked about Bathsheba's, Bathsheba's son, Bathsheba and David's son. One of the things over the years I have been struggling with here is, does an infant can go to heaven? Okay? And as a beginner, a guy who went to seminary, I have to have a verse and I have to have reasons and all these things. If an infant dies, just sort of like a stillbirth or something, God, let's make it easier. Baby was alive in the womb, comes out, dies. Okay? It happens. It happens all the time. And so then is that baby can go to heaven? And this is 2 Samuel 12:23. And then as a teacher, we go into this verse. We go into this verse. And then this verse is all comes down to this. The conclusion is 23. Bathsheba and the David killed the Bathsheba's husband. So the God allowed him to, God punished David by killing his son with the Bathsheba. Okay? So now the baby is sick for a while. The baby is born and he was sick for a while and he cries, and he tried to, tried to change God's mind about the, what is it, and have prayers and all so on and so forth. And does more, baby finally dies. And in 23, he says this. And then he kind of changes demeanor. He was a very sad guy before. And you can see the parents. You can imagine yourself. The parents is kind of crying out for the baby. You can kind of see that. And he, when the baby dies, he just completely changed man. And he's kind of cheaper guy. And okay, normal guy. And he's kind of, I mean, those servants are kind of strange about him. And then now he's 23. But now he's dead. Wherefore should I be fed? Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So what he's saying is, I'm going to him, implying that he went to heaven. Okay, that's usually what happens. Okay, that's what I was, the verse saying that. But we can kind of make it as a, went to seminary and things like this, we can make it complicated and then usual, and then you can say that, well, this is Old Testament baby, and a New Testament baby won't make any difference. Let's look at a couple of why that scenario can be possible. Okay, New Testament baby dies. Okay? I should say, this is better. New Testament baby dies. So, does the New Testament baby's Adam's sin taken care of? The New Testament the baby has Adam's sin, right? Is it taken care of? Yes, it's been taken care of. Okay. And number two, does baby had individual sin? Probably not. You know, he doesn't have this. Sin is 1 John 3:4. You have to have an intention, determination that the I don't have to follow that law, follow standards or law or principles, whichever. You're just making a choice here. I don't think a baby has that capability at this moment. Does he have so that thing is that he doesn't have any trespasses. So, even though he has sin nature, his trespass has not dominated him. So yeah, it's feasible. As long as God decrees for him to go to heaven. Yeah, it's doable. So according to what we talked about so far, that infant baby can go to heaven. Yes, the sins and trespasses are taken care of in his life. So as long as God decrees him, yeah, he can go to heaven. So you can confidently say, yeah, it's possible as long as God wills it. But I'm not sure whether God willed it or not. So that's a really question. So, all right. I think I talked enough. It's hour and a half, 15 minutes. Okay. So, we had a lot of things we talked about. I'm sure the Tim covered. I read the Tim's notes. And he covered a lot of them, most of them, and probably all of them too, but he better did this. And then next couple hours, Mark is going to talk about his faith, and I'm sure he's going to say something about how we can get the applied faith sometime in his sermons. And then the whole thing comes down to is a faith. Is a faith that will get you into this applied mode here. Okay? And then the next two things, the next two couple hours, we're talking about Old Testament covenants. And the one after that, we're going to talk about the New Testament covenants, which for the grace believers. And how does that fit into his salvations and his plan. And the New Testament covenant is all about that God is planning out, showing, kind of laying out the plan for grace believers. And you'll be amazed. Of course, it's a God. There's nothing to be amazed about here. Nothing to be amazed about. It's a God. The planning on the what the grace believer's plan is, and what's the intricate plan. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do this. And that is a form. Is what's interesting about to me is that is a form of covenant. It's not just say, okay, Katie, you have to go to school. It's not that. That's kind of promise. You go to school. But this is a big deal, super duper promise God laid out, say, Katie, you have to go, you will go to school. Okay? Deep voice and even more. And he puts out the covenants there. It just shows us how, in a sense, how God takes care of the grace believer. And not only the objective, but the way, the method of getting us there. So, okay? So let's pray and then take about a few minutes, and then Mark can take over. Dear Heavenly Father, it's amazing to see, studies your word. Amazing to understand what have you provide for us. We are so appreciative about your methods and your will and your grace so that you have provided us this wonderful thing called the salvation for us. You didn't have to. But you want to show to the others, creations, that you are God with integrity. You are God with the essence and attributes and nature. So that you want to show to the angels that who your God is. And one of our case study, an example, is a salvation. Thank you for these salvations. And thank you for all the things you have done for us through Jesus Christ. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.